When you feel down, you lift up your head unto the hills, for whence cometh your help? For your help comes from the Lord. Do I have anybody that say, I know Jesus is my help? If you know he's your help, I say, ain't he all right? I say, ain't he all right? If you know he's your help, you ought to say this with me. I may not know anything else, but I know. Say, I know that the Lord is all right. I know he's all right.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings, faithful followers and listeners of Dr. John E. Montgomery II and the Movement of Christ broadcast. For the entire month of January, we are celebrating Dr. Montgomery's 66th birthday and his 37th pastoral anniversary. And we are extending an opportunity for you to be a blessing to this great man of God. Surely this broadcast has blessed and encouraged thousands over the years and even brought many to Christ. Glory to God. If you are one of the many blessed by this broadcast, we ask that you seize this opportunity to be a blessing. Simply call our corporate office during business hours at 225-927-0577. 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577 for details. And if you are in the Baton Rouge area, please join us for the celebration on January the 25th at our 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. services and meet the man of God that has blessed you for years. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, 9 verses. I want read in your hearing. Our reader is going to read it. I want you to stand, get your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, whatever apparatus you may have your Bible on. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 8. All right, reader.
1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, verse 9, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." Verse 11. And she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Verse 12. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son." Verse 14. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste,
all right,
neither shall the cruse of oil fail,
all right,
until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Verse 15. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah.
Amen.
Let the church say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. For just a little while, I want to talk about a divine connection. A divine connection. What a fascinating story this is. And how many parts of this story that somehow baffles many of our emotions and understanding of how God permitted this situation to come about in the first place, and how many things in this text that we've heard in our hearing goes against our logical thinking. But God said in his word, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so am I above thee." He makes clear that he doesn't work on our schedule, but we do work on his. I want to talk about this divine connection because I want to help us to get some teaching points, and then I want to share three preaching points. And I know it seems like a lot, but it's going to be real short. Here's the first thing I need you to know. A divine connection, especially in the context of this story before us, includes four things. It includes, one, the proper persons. Two, the proper place. 3, the proper period. And 4, the proper purpose. Those 4 things were necessary in making a divine connection. The persons were the prophet Elijah and the widow woman. They were the proper persons for this divine connection. The proper place was Zarephath. It was a city east of Jordan. What's interesting about this is the man of God had been abiding by the brook Cherith, and God would send ravens in the morning and bring him bread and meat. And then in the evening, they'd fly back in and bring him bread and meat in the evening. God turned ravenous birds who would scavenge and who would steal and who would hawk their wares, if you will, to become a delivery service. It was bird's eye delivery service. Every day, dropping off the man of God in the morning and the evening, bread and meat. And he drank the cool waters from the brook of Cherith. But the Bible teaches us that the brook dried up. One of the reasons I believe in my own heart and spirit, the brook dried up and the birds stopped feeding him, was because God wants us to know he has many resources, but we ought not ever trust in but the one true source. I think I'll say that again. He has many resources, but he doesn't want us to trust in any other source but him. So as the brook dried up and the birds stopped feeding him, God told him, listen, go down to Zarephath. There, somebody say there. Now that is the place, Zarephath. Look at what he says. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So we have the proper persons, the proper place, the proper period, and the proper purpose. Well, as he gets up and he heads on to Zarephath, the proper period or timing came in when he, one, did not delay, did not drag his feet, but he heard God's voice and he hearkened. He obeyed God's voice. And because he did it immediately, by the time he was coming through the gate, it wasn't but one woman coming across the front of the gate on her way to prepare some sticks so she could prepare her last supper. He didn't have to be confused about who was the right woman, because she was the only woman that came across his path at that time. So he called out to her because the Bible says God commanded her to sustain him. Now listen at this. Because he calls out and asks her for a little water in a vessel. Now at this time, there is a great famine in the land. Zarephath is a small place, city in the region of Zidon, east of Jordan. King Ahab and that wicked queen Jezebel had received word that God was going to stop the rain and dew from falling for 3 years and 6 months. God uses the man of God to tell them that because of their sins and their wickedness. So things are drying up everywhere. The famine has hit the land and cattle are dying and
plants and crops are dying, and people are dying, and watering holes are drying up. And the place everywhere in that vicinity that God spoke became drear, and a drought began to overtake the people. And yet the king is looking for Elijah to kill him, because he himself, as the man of God, brought on the word and the wrath of God on his wife Jezebel and their evil prophets. So he puts him in a little place that all of them overlook, and he sends him to a poor widow woman who says, I don't have but a little meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And she said she was about to make a cake and eat it, she and her son, and die. Now, that's perplexing to me. Why would God send the man of God to this poor widow woman when she doesn't have but one meal left? If you read those verses again, that's why I wanted you to know where they were, so you can go back. All of the points that I'm preaching about are in the text. He told him to go there and dwell. Dwell is a compound word of do well. He says, I want you to go to Zarephath, and every other place is drying up, but I want you to go there and do well. The widow woman, listen, has made up her mind that she's going to find two sticks, dress it, in other words, prepare the little fire, and bake her last pancake and eat it, she and her son. And the resolve is, after that, because everything would be gone, she would die. The man of God says, listen, why are you on your way to give me some water? Bring me a little morsel of bread in your hand. The woman tells him, listen, as the Lord thy God, your God, liveth, I have not, and she tells him what she had left, a little meal and a little oil. Man of God said, tell you what you do. Well, do what you said you're going to do. But before you make your cake, make me a little one first. Now, when I first read that, and I preached this before, and I've said this, I thought that was the meanest, the cruelest, the most unusual, think for yourself kind of act the man of God could have ever done. Told the woman, not listen, when you make your cake and you and your son eat whatever is left, I'll take. But he tells her, make me a little cake first. Then after that, make a cake for you and your son. Now, here is the point. You're going to recognize that the reason God sent Elijah to Zarephath to this widow woman is because she didn't have a covering. She had no doubt been praying to God, and God works in mysterious ways. But I told you it was a divine connection. So if God told Elijah to go to Zarephath and see this widow woman, in order for it to be a divine connection, he had to tell the widow woman in Zarephath that Elijah was coming. Are you listening to me? Her confirmation when he said, give me a little cake first, was the fact that God commanded her to sustain him. Sustain him. With one little bit of cake left, a little oil in a cruse. Sustain him. Well, it wasn't going to be the little meal in the oil, a little meal in the barrel and a little oil in the cruse that was going to sustain him. It was going to be faith and obedience. Let me help you understand what I'm trying to say. God knew her situation, and she had asked God to sustain her. But sometimes when you ask God to do something for you, God asks you to do something for somebody else. So she knows God has already told her this man is coming. No shock to her. Might have been shocked what God told her to do, but no shock that he was coming. But here's what I want you to see. The man had faith, but no food. The woman had food, but no faith. The man needed food and water to be sustained. The woman needed faith and order to be sustained. See, she had food, but she didn't have enough faith to believe that what God did with this, he could take that and multiply that if she would hear and obey him. She didn't have that kind of faith. She believed she was going to eat that last cake and die. But God was trying to show her if she learned to trust him, no matter how bleak the situation looked, no matter how dire the situation looked, if she would trust God, God could take her little and multiply it into much. And so she goes according to the text, and she begins to prepare it and do it. Let me just jump to the end right quick, because I want to come back now with some preaching points. One, when she made that little cake for Elijah and when it brought it to him first, he ate the cake. She went back home, and what she had taken out of it to make for him was automatically multiplied and put back in the barrel and in the vessel. The oil in the vessel, the meal in the barrel. She looks at that and says, I didn't have this much. She makes that cake, and she and her son eat. The next day came around. She made him a little cake first, went back, made her and her son a cake, and she ate. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Day after day after day. Listen at this. God didn't fill the barrel up with meal. He did not fill the cruse with oil. He left what was in there at its same level. When she used it, God just automatically replaced it. How many of you know that you don't need no more than what you got when you use what you got for God? It's up to him to multiply your situation to do what he has bidded you to do. Now, it says in the end of the text that this woman, the prophet, and all in her house ate for many days. In other words, for the remainder of the 3 years and 6 months, that thing just happened, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And then when the miracle stopped, the famine stopped. The rain came. The dews came. The dew came. And all of those things then brought things back to normal. But God kept his word. Say, God kept his word. Do you not think if God could keep his word to a little widow woman who was about to eat her last meal and die, would he not keep his word to his children and believers here today who have his word, believe his word, trust his word, and live by his word? Do you not think God will honor his word? Now, here are some preaching points. Point number one, God can take overwhelming obstacles and turn them into overcoming opportunities. Somebody, y'all don't want to have church. I'm going to just tell you what I got to tell you and go home. But I got to tell you, he can take overwhelming obstacles, situations, circumstances that you don't see how you're going to be able to make it, how you're going to be able to deal with it, how you're going to be able to handle it, how you're going to be able to pay it, how you're going to be able to make that situation work out. He can take those obstacles and turn them around into overcoming opportunities. You got to remember what the devil means for evil, God means for good. And every time he places an overwhelming obstacle in your face, in your place, in your path, it's because God wants to turn that into an overcoming opportunity. We got to stop there. Oh, Lord, woe is me. Why are you letting this happen to me, Lord? Because he wants to bless you bigger and better than he's ever done before. And that means it takes bigger and better problems than you've ever had before for him to do that with. If you don't recognize that obstacles are not an end, but an opportunity when you belong to God, then you are missing the whole picture. The word from the Old Testament to the New Testament is filled with saints who had overwhelming obstacles that they overcame. And God turned them into opportunities. Don't have time. If you got any Bible knowledge, just run back through the reference in your mind and you'll remember many of them on your own. Second thing I want to tell you is that God can take tough, tragic, and troubling times and cause them to be tailored testimonies of triumph. Again, he can take tough, terrible, troubling times, turn them into tailored testimonies of triumph. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? You remember David and Goliath, don't you? If that wasn't a big obstacle, tell me what was. He let him go through some things first to prepare it. A lion came to eat up the lamb. A bear came to eat up the lamb. God taught him how to take those overwhelming obstacles and turn them into opportunities. Because he then took the king of the jungle, the lion, and ripped him apart. And a bear that stood 3 to 4 feet taller than him and about 400 or 500 pounds heavier than him, and caused him to destroy the bear. When he saw Goliath, Goliath was no big challenge to him because he had been there before, just in different forms. And see, you got to learn that your obstacles are just, listen, troubles in different forms. But what God lets you conquer in one arena, he can let you conquer in another arena.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II.